do the bird here, the meadowlark, western meadowlark, which we're heading into the fall now. See what happens to them during that thing. Here we go. I think the lights are okay for the video. Are you out there, video morning people? Let's look at, let's go to Romans chapter 2 this morning. You know, you hear this phrase so many times, or you read about it on Farcebook and all these other places, and I'm trying to fade out of that thing. I'm trying to get rid of most of the folks. They just don't need to deal with that thing, I guess. It's been too hurtful for me and too hurtful for others, and the little peon little things they talk about is nobody's business, and if you comment on it, then they get all upset. So I'm just whatever, family or not. And yet you still read comments about how the love of Christ, or they'll say to us, you don't exhibit the love of Christ in your life towards other people. Why be so grumpy and old manish? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, so they talk, comment on the depth of the love of God. That's fine. I don't discount any of that stuff. But what about the goodness of God? I don't hear anybody ever still talk about that. They're willing to talk about the love of Christ, the love of Jesus in your life. They're willing to talk about the love of God towards us because he saved our soul from hell. And that's fine. That's a serious thing. I mean, that's a big deal. But his love goes so far beyond that. And when people say the depth of the love of God, honestly, they have no clue. I see people that they have the love of God, but they have the love of religion. And, you know, it's hard living where we live out here in these parts, out here in the Midwest, the western part of South Dakota. These are some very nice people, very conservative people, hardworking people. We don't have Mexicans out here because the high school kids get all the jobs, and they want the jobs, and they work the jobs. So it's different out here. But they are still just as lost as anybody else, and these are just nice people that are lost. And it's a tough deal to talk to these folks if you want to try to talk about this kind of stuff at all. They love the love of God. They love the love of Christ. But the goodness of God, I'm not sure that they even believe that God is good, because they're trying to associate the goodness of God with the things that he has done for us physically, the outward blessings. If we were blessed by God with a better president, if we were blessed by God with a better government, if we were blessed by God by having more freedoms, etc., etc., then I think they'd be back to the goodness of God. But that isn't what the goodness of God is. It just, and obviously they don't know what the goodness of God is. I don't hear anybody say that. And if you say that to anybody, well, the goodness of God, you don't know much about the goodness of God. Oh yeah, God is so good. Yeah? Give me a couple points. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. We're going to look at a phase or a part of the goodness of God that people don't want to deal with. We know that the love of God, the love of Christ. They know that God is good. God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for this food. Amen. Stuff like that. And they live in America, so they're God is good about that. And there's some other things he's good to them about, that kind of thing, you know. But Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 3, it talks about the fact that these people that are lost up in verse chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2, that they actually think that they're escaping the judgment of God. Thinkest thou this, O man, in verse 3, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now, the reason I'm thinking about this thing is you look up in verse 5, that God's judgment is not coming down on lost people right now. They're getting away with murder. They're getting away with tons of stuff. They get with perversion after perversion after perversion. They're getting away with hating God. They're getting away with mocking God. And they're getting away with flattery and all this kind of stuff. And you go up to verse chapter 1, verse 30, 31, and 32. They're getting away with this stuff today. So as a result of that, they think that they're escaping the judgment of God. And verse 5 says that they're not. says, but after thy hardness and penitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. He will bring everything up. That's why it's so in judgment. They will not escape the judgment of God. They think they are. Why? Because God isn't judging them now. God isn't putting a hammer down. They're getting away with stuff. Oh, but he's getting them in the other countries. Ah, but not America. And America so deserves God's judgment. Or God is judging New Orleans. He is judging the West. You know, this is not God's judgment. Okay, so that's we understand. That's why lost people don't believe that there is a God, because everybody's getting away with everything anyway, so why do they care? But then we get into verse 4, that these same people that are Christians don't see the judgment of God coming down. Well, not only that, they despise all the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. This goodness of God, this forbearance and long-suffering. You've got the Bible guys out there that say God is going to chastise, God is going to beat, God is going to hurt you, God is going to block things, God is going to take your job, God is going to give you a crummy husband because you're such a crummy person, God is going to give you a crummy wife because that's, you know, all the... Oh. All this kind of stuff just flat goes against this verse. The goodness, and it isn't just the goodness of God, how about the forbearance of God and the long suffering? So, and that's still not my point. I'm working up on my point here. There's a part of the goodness of God, there's a part of the forbearance of God and the long suffering of God that we still have to deal with. And people do not like it. They love his grace stuff. I mean, if you're going to talk about Paul, yeah, we follow Paul. Sure, we follow Paul. Paul's one that tells us about God's grace. They wouldn't dare say that all things are lawful, because then they know how to answer their question. Well, that mean we can go out and do such and such? So they don't ever talk about that verse. But to concentrate on God's grace allows them to do what they want, allows them to still love the world, allows them to pretend that they're being blessed by God, ignore the fact that Paul warns about being deceived all the time. It allows them to think that they have tried to stop sinning, and the few times they mess up, they confess it and everything's fine. As a result, they have God's blessings. So this is the part they like. This is how they like to look at God's goodness, the goodness of God, the forbearance, the long-suffering. But there's a segment that they don't like. And if Paul preaches it, it's about the goodness of God. Now let's go to Romans chapter 11. All people want to talk about is God's blessings on their lives. And if they don't have any blessings on their lives, then they throw it away and they think God's not there. Da, 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 da. I hear this so much anymore. We go down to chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. Okay, that's the Jews. God put the hammer down on them. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the whole spiel. They understand God's severity. But toward thee... Again, Gentiles, this is Paul talking. Goodness. Behold the goodness. Then it has this big if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. So as we get away from the goodness of God, one of these days God's going to say, okay, I'm done to the Gentiles. The fullness of Gentiles has come in. We're done. I've given you the opportunity to understand and receive my goodness, which is all spiritual. And they just, I tell you, you talk to folks, they just can't get it. They don't want to get it. Somehow they want to think that they're still living a good enough life that they're going to be blessed by God. The blessings we have of God are ours right now. Not because we've earned them. It's because of our faith. And this faith is what has given us his righteousness, which has made us his righteousness. All things are lawful because he took care of the law. There's just nothing there. Relax. But, he says, Here's what you can do to please God. I know you've heard this before. This is just on my mind today. This is what we can do to please God. Now, why don't people want to do some of that thing to please God? They're bound and determined to believe that they have stopped sinning. And boy, if anybody shows that that's not true, that's Paul. Paul didn't stop sinning. Romans 7. He did things he didn't want to do. He didn't do things he should have done, blah, 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 blah. And he hated it. So listen, we're not going to stop a lot of our stuff. But yet, this goodness of God tells us not only about God's grace, and not only tells us about how things are not imputed, and that's fine, but there are some words that come up in Paul's books that are very tough on people. And we're going to go through those words. And I think I've done this before in some respects. I'm not sure I've done it in this particular category. I remember it wasn't that long ago. I went through some letters in the alphabet and I looked up the words and then went through the dictionary and found some words that are in Paul's books, and we'll talk about them. So this morning, and maybe tonight, if I don't get these things done here this morning, we're going to look at some verses that have some things in it that we're supposed to do that we will be challenged that that's not the love of God. That's not the love of Christ to behave that way, to talk like that, to think like that. Who are you to cast judgment, da, 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 da? And this is the part of the goodness of God that people don't know anything about, apparently. And as a result of this is the stuff that's fading in the goodness of God, it isn't going to be much longer, and the Gentiles are going to be cut off. That would be called the rapture. People don't want to believe in the rapture. What does it mean when it says, toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise they also shall be cut off? He's talking about the Gentiles. The Gentile nation will be cut off someday. We won't have the goodness of God put upon the Gentile nation. So there has to be a difference between the dispensation of grace, which is where the goodness of God is available to anybody, to the tribulation where the goodness of God isn't there anymore. They have to walk the walk, and they have to not take the mark, and they have to, you know, they have to love the brethren. They have to do these things. It's not the goodness of God. That goes back to the judgment of God. Yet he loves them. Romans chapter 3. He loves them enough to correct them, try to correct them, and get them back on the straight path. Chastise them. Not a problem with that. But that's the tribulation. That is not today. So then we've got this dispensation of grace that if people understand that at all, they think that we just live in the time of grace. Ta-da! And you hit them up with the goodness of God and mention Paul at all, I guess we follow Paul because we understand God's grace and Jesus' grace. And we follow Paul. No, you don't. You don't know what it means to follow Paul. Not only does Paul tell us to clean up our walk and to change our day-to-day living, to change our manner of life, he tells us to do some other things or not to do some other things. And what are those other things? Well, let's give it a shot. Let's go to 2 Timothy. These are some of the easy ones here. These all begin with the letter D. I think that this, when I did this back a while ago, even though I started with the letter D. I don't know. We'll see. Doesn't really matter if we do it. I couldn't find it. So it's funny. I've got a search thing on my website, but I can't find anything if I type it in that search. It's just like I must be typing it in wrong or whatever. For example, 2 Timothy 2:15. You know what that is? To divide. And I can already tell I'm not going to get through these things this morning. I can already tell because I just want to talk about each one and just challenge folks. The folks that need to hear this thing aren't going to hear this thing. So what's new in life? But to rightly divide the word of truth, what does that mean? Rightly, just not do it wrongly. Duh. To divide, you divide it. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the King James Bible. So if the King James Bible is the word of truth, then it needs to be rightly divided. What's so hard about that? They just take everything in that book and they just pick and choose what they want to put to them. And it says here, study to show thyself approved. Man, what better thing to study to find out that you are already approved of God? Because that's what you find out. So, And it's not just because you're walking sinless. It's because you've studied to find out that you are already approved of God. Now, why don't they want that? What's the deal with that? Anyway, let's keep going here. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we know 2 Thessalonians has a lot to do with the tribulation and the wrath coming up. It also talks about it's futuristic type stuff in a way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. We see that we're heading towards more and more damnation. They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. As we approach the tribulation times and when the Gentile nation will be cut off, there's going to be more pleasure. There's going to be more pleasure in unrighteousness, and they're not going to believe the truth, and as a result, they're damned. I don't care if it's your son or daughter or husband or wife or best friend or worker or one of the great Christians in town or one of the great religious people in town or one of the nice person in town that's been around for 80 years and has been a good blessing to the community and all that kind of stuff. They're damned. And what's going on here is more and more people are in such a manner that we're finding out, if you want to really approach it, that they're probably just damned. That's all. And they don't get it. And they don't understand it. And if they don't get it and they don't like it, then there's a pretty good chance that they are damned. That's serious. That's not just a Baptist thing. If we look at Mark 16:16, the Great Commission. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, so when Jesus' teachings were being taught to the Jews and to the world from the apostles there, if they didn't believe, they were damned. Well, what are we headed into? We're headed into tribulational teachings, and the same thing is going to take place. If they don't believe, they'll be damned. And he says again in Thessalonians that, yeah, they receive not the love of the truth. They're not saved. They'd be damned. They don't believe the truth, and they had pleasure in unrighteousness. We are seeing people having more and more pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, so there's one, damned and divide. Those are two of the words. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 29. These are some of the softer words we're going to look up here. Romans 1, 29. This one is the word debate. Romans 1:29, debate. That's one of the lists in that, one of the words in that long list of words in there. Verse 29 being filled with debate. Now, what's debate? Debate is arguing. Debate is trying to tell the different points and things. Debating it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. A lot of scriptures to go through this morning and tonight. Let the Bible preach to us, not me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Then he mentions debates. Now, we're going to debate the lost people, no doubt about it, if they're interested in talking, which they aren't. But that would be debate. But what he's talking about here is going into the church and finding debate, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. Yes, there is debate going on in the church. Why are you dressing that way? Why are you acting like that? What about your kids? What about homeschooling? What's going on here? All this stuff, the list can be a mile long. Why? What's going on here? There's debate that's going on. What's the debate? Somebody's not putting forth a unified language. Somebody's not putting forth a straightforward bunch of sermons. No, somebody's not teaching us something that keeps this debate from taking place. There should be no debate within a church. A King James Bible-believing, Paul-following, rightly divided church, should be no debates going on in there. Look at Titus chapter 3. When you come home from church, you shouldn't have to sit there and debate or talk about, was this right, is this not right, da-da-da-da, and right. You shouldn't have to do that. But it's happening. Why is it happening? Because it's debatable stuff they're talking about anymore. It isn't just cut and dry simplicity of following Christ through Paul. We're using this Bible psychology stuff, and it's creating debate. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. About the law? The law is gone. All things are lawful. And this foolish question stuff and this debates and this genealogies and this contentions and strivings and all this kind of stuff, it's unprofitable. What gain do we get from this stuff? Why aren't the preachers preaching in a fashion that eliminates debate in the church? Why don't people want to go up and talk to the pastor with their Bible to show them where he's wrong? You know why? They can't if you're preaching Paul the way Paul should be preached. So then they get mad at you because you think you're perfect. No, this book says what it says. No need for debate. No need to deal with this foolish question, baloney, because it just wastes your time. We go to Titus, look at Titus, I think it's 1:11. I think that's what that was. Yeah, it says right here, 1:11. Let's go to 1:10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That's the Jewish crowd, the ones that have the law. There's a bunch of people out there yakking about the law. They can't handle Paul. And you got them people got them in their own churches. Some of the folks that see in this list are in church. You've got these people in your church there. And what does he say? He says their mouths must be stopped. Well, wait a minute. You've got to have enough scripture to put them in their place and to shut their mouth. Well, is that the love of God? Is that the love of Christ? No, that's part of the goodness of God. The goodness of God, here's what God has given to us spiritually. Here's what he's done for us. And yes, part of this being a Christian with the goodness of God is we're to shut these people's mouths. Doesn't mean you go in a street corner and yell at them, blah, blah. That doesn't do anything. It doesn't stop their mouth. And being louder than somebody else doesn't stop their mouth. You just show them the doctrine that says, listen, this is what it says. I can't help it. I didn't write it. And there's nothing to debate about here. It's plain and simple. This is a fact. And if you talk like, my point this morning is if you talk like that and act like that, then you don't have the love of God. You don't have the love of Christ in you. I was given that yesterday on Facebook. Just a grumpy old man without the love of Christ. You don't know what the love of Christ is, big mouth lady. You don't know what that stuff's all about. Know nothing about the goodness of God, because the goodness of God is more than just being blessed. It's to tell people you're wrong. And it's to get rid of this debate junk within the church and to stand strong on that King James rightly divided Bible, look into Paul's books. Case closed. Okay. Let's go to another one here. We can go to some quick ones here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. You're probably already there, but not me here. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay, what verse 9? The things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them, what's that? The things that he has prepared for them that love him. Unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, how do you search the deep things of God? With your Bible. It's that simple. People still cannot get over the fact that Jesus, that the Spirit of God does not just work in our little blind, little flattery-minded, fleshy minds. He works to us through his Bible, through this Word of God, the Word of truth. And it has to be rightly divided so that we know that what the Holy Spirit is going to teach to us is going to come from Paul. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us to read the rest of the Bible and learn from it. But he's not going to tell us to do things based on the rest of that Bible. How do you know that? Because that's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will teach us. Anything he's going to teach us is going to be within that Bible and from that Bible. And as hard as it is, that's probably one of the most important things about a King James Bible. is the Spirit of God will not teach you anything if you even have the Spirit of God through a different Bible. It's just not going to happen. You've got your own wisdom. You've got your own study skills. You've got your own concordance. You've got your brain. You can manipulate any kind of teachings you want out of all these different Bibles that sound good and appeal to people and flat, you know, everything's going hunky-dory. But it isn't from God. That's all. That's the biggest thing. And that's huge. And that's hard. Because, see, these people in this area out here, like I say, they're nice people. And they put together some nice churches and some nice religions. And people that care for each other. I got people out here that I know that are caught up in different Bibles, different churches, the whole thing. And they are such a much better Christian than any King James guys I know. And it's really hard to see something like that. Shameful. Okay, so the quick word there was deep. We don't have to not know anything about our God. We don't have to pretend we have a God and not know what we don't have to not know where God's at. We know where God is at in our lives. Every day we know where God is at. He's not an unknown God to us at all. We can get into the deep things of God because of this Bible. So all you got to do is read and study your Bible, and you're down in the deep. And it's not complicated. You can complicate it, spend all your time in the Old Testament trying to figure all that stuff out. But for us on a day-to-day basis in the dispensation of grace, learning how to please God, there's nothing deep about that. It's there in that Bible. Let's do another one in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. These are things, these are D words, alliteration of D words that makes people angry or frustrates them or denies us the right of using these words in our day-to-day life, of actions as a Christian. They expect us to roll over and not have any opinion, not say anything, just accept what God has showed them in their day-to-day walk as they watch worthless Christian so-called movies, drink their little tabs of beer and hard alcohol, go places you ought not be going, and that doesn't quench the Spirit of God. Of course not, because see, God hasn't judged them for anything, so it must be okay. And God has just impressed upon my heart that I need to care for other people when I get done to this rock concert or whatever. And they look to us and we say something like that. Well, where's the love of God in your life? It's about the goodness of God, folks. And the goodness of God says that you're going to be damned if you don't believe this stuff. You're going to waste a lot of time in debate, but we're still supposed to stand up for what's true, but not within the brethren. There should be no debate within your church. The deep things of God are available. And then this one, Romans chapter 7, verse 22. What? Romans, what do I got here? Romans 7, why don't you get into Romans instead of Ephesians? Okay. You've already read it, so I guess we can skip that one. 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Okay. Now, I thought the law was done. No, it says, I delight in the law of God. Not the law from God, but the law of God. What's the law of God? God. How he's done what he's done. The law of God shows us that we rightly divide a Bible. We're living in the dispensation of grace. We follow Paul, and we change our lives to please him. That's the law of God. We should delight in that. And you should delight it if somebody has something for you. Or you have something for you. But how many people delight in the law of God? They want to go back to the law from God, or they delight, and I delight in the law from God because it makes me live such a Christian life, and I'm such a clean person now, God will bless me. Oh, please. I'm getting so tired of that. Look at Romans chapter 7, the same chapter, look at verse 24. Paul wanted to be delivered from his body. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? If Paul was such a good Christian, why was his body giving him such a hard time? That's the flesh. We have that problem with our bodies. And we're not going to fix it. Doesn't justify us to continue as is. But listen, we're not going to clean up the garage. So what are we doing telling other these people? Because these other people, as well as ourselves, need to know that that's not a pleasing thing to God. And it's in the goodness of God that we're supposed to talk about these things. So we should delight in the law of God. What God tells us, what God has taught us from Genesis to Revelation, in a rightly divided manner, we should delight in that stuff. And we should delight in the fact that we are living in the dispensation of grace era. We should delight ourselves in the fact that he's done what he's done. We should delight ourselves in the fact that we even have the opportunity to live to please him, where before we couldn't. It's really a sad thing. All these good people in the Midwest, conservative, good, religious people, they're not pleasing God at all. I mean, they're just not. Because if they're not saved, they can't please God. Romans chapter 8. They can't do it. It's not possible. Their works still have that sin attached. They're still attached to that sin. So as good a thing it is that they do, it's still not good enough. For all have, what did that verse say, for have come short? How's that go? Romans 3:23, is it 6:23? 3:23. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't say like NIV, they've fallen. No, in order to fall from something, you've got to be there. We've never been able to do good enough for God. We come short. So if we put our faith in him, then he will carry us over the lift, and now we can please God. And we are getting so caught up with this anti-goodness of God stuff. And listen, we all experience this stuff. The troubles in our flesh and the troubles in this day-to-day life are just growing worse and worse and worse. And if we try to say to anybody about the truth, about the goodness of God, they just get mad. And they say that you are not showing the love of God. You're not showing the goodness, the love of Christ. Where's your love? We've got debate. We've got damned. We've got divide. We've got deep. We've got delight. Romans 7:24, Paul wants to be delivered from this body. Nobody wants to be delivered from their body. They're satisfied with it. They're happy with it. Amen? I mean, look at the fashions you can buy. Look at the stuff you can do to your body. Look at the stuff that is happening to people. Their flesh is just being satisfied. What a waste. Paul wanted out. Everybody else wants to fix theirs up and enjoy it. Well, we're on this earth. We can enjoy the flesh. This is the way things are. But when it takes over the truth and it takes over what's right in our lives, then it becomes a religious thing, and the flesh is appealed to through in the religion, and you tell people this is just the way the Antichrist is going to be, and this is bringing everybody in together into one world religion. Oh, who are you talking about? You just have no love of God. There's nothing wrong with those movies. They're good movies. There's nothing wrong with tipping a few here. There's nothing wrong with this and that, whatever. No, you're falling in love with your body again. And Paul fell out of love with his body. Oh, wretched man. He knew he was a wretched man. I'm still a wretched man. But he's separated from that flesh. And I should be careful that I don't let these people talk me into the love of God and not say things that need to be said. And I'll show you some more words here. Romans 7:20. Let's look at Acts 26. Now, we will be delivered from this wretched body someday, but not yet. Look at Acts 26. Went the wrong direction. That was brilliant. Acts 26, 17. Paul was delivered from the Gentiles so he could be sent to the Gentiles. Isn't that a wild? Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So we are delivered from our people, and yet we're still around to witness to them. But we're still delivered from them. Paul was delivered from these people and from the Gentiles so he could preach to the Gentiles. We have to realize that if we're the Christian that we believe to be and want to be, then we're not part of them. We've been delivered from the Gentiles. We're no longer a Gentile. We're a church of God. We're going to be talking with people who are pretenders. They're imitators. And again, some of these people are really nice people. They're just good people. And this goodness of God, not only does it talk about the blessings that God has done us spiritually, it's the fact that there are some things that have to be done in our lives to make it tough. Look at Galatians 1:4. These are just the easy ones. I'll get to the hard ones here in a minute. How are we doing for time? Plenty of time. Galatians 1:4. And again, how serious are we continuing in the goodness of God? Do we just accept it and we have it and we go live our life in the world like everybody else, knowing we have the goodness of God? No, I don't believe that's continuing in the goodness of God. Continuing in the goodness of God, Romans chapter 2, is because we are living the life that pleases God. And we're using His grace to help us get stronger. And we're doing these other things I'll get to here in a minute. If we don't want to do these things, we don't want to deal with these things, then we are not continuing in the love of God, in the goodness of God. And why not? Before He comes, that's going to be done anyway. So maybe all that I'm seeing and recognize, this is the way it has to be. So relax, back off. This is the way it's going to be. This world, these Christians today, are not going to continue in the goodness of God. They're going to blow their modesty thing. They're going to blow their language thing. They're going to blow their parental rights. They're going to blow their way of teaching them at home. They're going to put the ladies to work. They're not continuing the goodness of God anymore. They run out of steam. They're done. They're gone. Galatians 1:4, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. We've been delivered from this present evil world. Why do we go back to it? Like you say, ask that question someplace else in Galatians, I think, too. Who has bewitched you? Why? Chapter 3, who foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And, gone backwards. I thought we were delivered from this present. Yeah, but you wanted to go back, didn't you, Demas? Okay. Let's look at a tough one here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 1:19. This is the one I get my passion going on, is this particular right here. 1 Corinthians 1:19, it does tell us here that, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So we know God's going to destroy all this wisdom that the people are coming up with in this world. We know that. Right? I mean, so that's where that's at. But let's go to the tough verse. And that's Acts chapter 19, just back a little ways. And you've heard me preach this a number of times. And that's just how I am, I guess. You know the story, Demetrius, silversmith. Verse 25, he's whining. Verse 24, they're not making any money anymore. Verse 26, throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods. Yeah, they be no gods, which are made with hands. What you folks think you're doing in your worship programs and with your programs and your this and that and whatever, you're not. It's not right. Now he says in verse 27, so that not only this, so because of that, not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, means there's nothing value to it, that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed. Now that's part of the goodness of God. That whatever it was that got into our lives and almost ruined our lives, we need to despise that stuff. We need to destroy that stuff. So when somebody says to you, come on, these movies are fine. No, they're not. You know what I could do with a movie? I could sit out and watch a movie for 2 and 3 hours and a half. You know how much time I could waste in front of a movie deal? You know the communications that are being taught to our kids in movies? Do you wonder why your kid doesn't like to read because they spent their whole life growing up with videos? And when you finally come to realize that in your life, you don't want them to be around. Well, where's the love of God? Where's your love of Christ? Where's the goodness of God? The goodness of God tells me to destroy and to despise
verse 27. I don't have a big thing about alcohol. I never got into alcohol. I just never did. I just can't do that. So I don't have this burden towards alcohol and people. But I know what music did. I want to destroy, and I want to destroy that world of music. So what am I doing teaching in school? I'm trying to teach it in such a manner that I despise this modern music, and I want to destroy it before it gets a hold of these kids. I'm not going to stop that from those kids. I know what they listen to at home. But I despise it. I just despise it. What do you despise? What went after you in your life? What caused you grief in your flesh, in your life? Do you despise it yet? Do you want to destroy it? Do you not want to be around it with other people? I'm not saying to go to somebody's house and tell them to turn their music off. That's their house. That's their car. I have no right to tell somebody to turn their music down. That's not my point. But you personally? Yeah, I despise that stuff. I destroyed it in my life. And if you don't want to be around it, then, which you shouldn't be, then don't be around it. If you go to somebody's house and they're always playing the crummy music because they're always watching crummy movies or something, and you don't want to do that because you despise and want to destroy that in your life, then don't go there. Paul doesn't tell us to get into these big, massive preaching fights. He just tells us to avoid. Just don't go there, he says. So what have you got in your life that you have that just bothers you because it was your, like it says for the tribulation of Paul to the Jews, the besetting sin. Well, now we still got the besetting thing that causes us trouble. What is that for you? Is it alcohol? Is it sex? Is it money? Is it education? Is it a liberated womanhood? I mean, what is it that's destroyed you and you got changed around? Well, better despise and destroy it or it's going to get you back. And that is the goodness of God. He tells us to destroy and despise. That's exactly what Paul did. He destroyed that craft for making money for those guys. He the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised. He taught people to despise that religious temple, and he told people to destroy the magnificence. Here's one. Sports. Girls' sports. Even guys' sports are way out of hand. But one that does to me the worst damage of all is it changes the whole character of a girl is women's sports. You despise that thing? Did you destroy it? Isn't it hard to see somebody else that you care and love for going into it now? They don't even know that you despised and destroyed it in your life. I see these girls at the schools I'm teaching, these little girls, and they haven't gotten into sports yet. They haven't even gotten into physical activity at all. Gym once a week, which is nothing but running around on scooters or something. I despise what the sporting world is going to do to those girls. I despise it. And to try to destroy the magnificence of it is pretty tough, isn't it? Well, it's not tough for you and your family. You've got all the freedom to teach your kids the right way from the start when they're little. But the more and more stories I hear, it's just not happening. The goodness that we're not continuing in the goodness of God, folks. And as a result, the rapture can't be that far away. Well, that's okay. I'm complaining about that. But until then, these Christians who are criticizing us for having no love of God, no love of Christ, they're nuts. Okay, so let's destroy. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And is what I'm talking about here just impractical? Well, you can't. You're saying it right, Paulson, but you know it just can't be done anymore. You just can't do it. Are we so far out of the goodness of God that we can't even talk about this stuff with people? That's very possible. That's very possible. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesyings. That's preachings. We're not supposed to despise that stuff. Despise not. We're supposed to look for that preaching and that teaching. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just a couple of pages over there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. You younger people,
Let no man despise thy youth. Don't let him despise you for preaching Paul. You know, Captain Stephen there. Don't let those Marines despise you because you preach and teach what you do in that Bible. Right? Even if you don't preach and teach it, you just live it. I'm sorry, I don't go drinking. Yeah, but every Marine in the world drinks. Not this one. And they despise you for that. You ladies, how many of you ladies really got the look of a Christian lady? Not just old-fashioned, but modestly covered up, period. That's just simple as that. Shamefaced. You're just downright covered. Well, you don't. They're going to despise you for that. That's okay. And they criticize us for not having the love of God and the love of Christ. And then they mock you for how you're dressed. As they walk around in their t-shirts and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's go to a couple more here. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. This is making sense. Am I just rambling again here? Acts chapter 15. Shows us an example of Paul doing something that we believe that we're not supposed to do, and that's not true. He's our example. Acts chapter 15, verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, who's them? Go to verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Paul says, wait a minute. When it says here, therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, that means they had big dissension and big disputation. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. So here's even where Paul's teachings challenge the teachings of the apostles. So it talks about that in that little area there. Look at chapter 23. You're going to have dissension if you speak the love of, if you live the life of the goodness of God. You're going to have dissension. Because it isn't just grace so you can do anything you want. It's grace so you can learn to change your lives, and as you mess up, it's covered. Total different way of looking at grace. Acts 23, verse 7. And we had said, so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude is divided. Remember, this is where Paul yells out the fact that, verse 6. When Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, and the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Oh, did that cause dissension right there? So that's what Paul did. He caused dissension. We're going to have dissension if we live the life that we believe to be true to please God. We're going to have some dissension. Look at Acts chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9. Verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Paul was willing to dispute. He was willing to talk to these people. We should be well. What else we got here? We got devils. We got diligence. We got discern. We should be able to discern. There is some dishonor within our homes, churches, dispensation, disputation, distinction, division, doctrine. We got that, some other long ones here. Things to look up. These are the things that comprise the goodness of God. We still have to change things in our lives. And if people don't like it, and we explain why, and they criticize us for being, without the love of God, they're crazy. And we can't give in to this stuff. But it's going to be tough. For me out here, I come to realize that these are some good people. So do we get involved with them forever? What are the chances of them seeing what it is that you're trying to show them by your walk? Well, that's an important part of our testimony, is our walk. But something has to be said when you're around a bunch of people that are being deceived and lied to and are being flattered. So anyway, the goodness of God, we have to continue in the goodness of God or it's over with. And we are finding out more and more people are not continuing in the goodness of God, even the Paul people. So if we try to stay in the goodness of God, us little people, right, you think it's our fault that we're holding the rapture back? Because we're still trying to continue in the goodness of God. I go down that list. Again, I don't know anything about KJV Girl. But Bob, I know what you sacrificed to stay in the goodness of God. You haven't got a church to go to anymore. And all the family difficulties. White cottons. All your Russian friends probably still have no clue what you're talking about. And patience. We know what you sacrificed to stay in the goodness of God. Floyd's. Don't talk to you guys very much, but you struggle at work. I know Melanie, home alone with Ben. One of these days you're going to just flat be home alone. And you sacrificed all your friends because you wanted to continue in the goodness of God. Stephen, you're a Marine. Now, I don't know where you've stumbled or tripped, but I sure wouldn't blame you. But I'm hoping that you'll held ground in some of that way for the drinking thing and the smoking thing and the cussing thing and all that junk. I hope it's just a good shot as a Marine. But for you to continue in the goodness of God within the Marines is tough stuff. Sam, I know what it cost you. Brian and Adriana, we know what it cost you. It still is costing us. But we can't be part of those that are not continuing in the goodness of God. We can't be part of that crowd. But it sure is hard. In some cases, it's near impossible. And he knows that. That's why we have his grace. This is where we get our strength. Okay, stand strong. Keep trying. His grace covered up that last decision that was wrong. Don't be afraid to destroy what tried to destroy you. Don't be afraid to despise something that despises you. Don't be afraid to force your desire to be the right kind of a desire. Don't hesitate to delight in all of this. And the church you go to is full of debate and disputation and deception and just a mess. Someday you make that decision. That's a waste of time, according to God. Just a simple waste of time. Okay, there we go.